please. We should have been doing this a long time ago. Amen. But we're doing it now. I know some of you, why didn't you do that for my marriage? Well, I don't know. We're doing it now. It's never too late to start doing things right. Amen? 1 Samuel chapter 15. I want to continue what we were talking about this morning. The title of the message tonight it's pretty simple. It's Obedience to God. And we were talking about the Rechabites this morning, and how they were so obedient to their earthly father, and how the Israelites, or Judah, was very disobedient to their heavenly father. And if anything, it should have been the other way around. But it wasn't. And God used the Rechabites and Jonadab and Rechab as examples to the nation of Israel. Here's a family that is 100% sold out to their father and obeyed their father for hundreds of years. And according to history and according to even today's tradition, there are still some of these people in the Middle East still as nomads, still obeying their father after about 3,000, almost 3,000 years. That just completely amazes me. But it shows you the faithfulness and the obedience of some people. We all need to be obedient to God. And we're going to talk about some of these things here tonight. We're going to start here in 1 Samuel 15. I've got a lot of scripture, so I'm going to move along. I'm going to read some of the scripture. I'll give you the address. You can write it down. If you want to look it up later yourself, you can. And we'll read some scripture just because I have quite a bit. I want to kind of move along pretty quick. That apple crisp has really got to me. So, amen. 1 Samuel 15. Let's stand together. And we're going to read verses 16 through 23. 16 through 23. This is the story of King Saul and his disobedience when he was told to go to the Amalekites and utterly destroy everything. Saul took some matters in his own hands and did what he wanted to do. And it cost him the throne. It cost him the crown. It eventually cost him his life because of this disobedience. Verse 16, it says, Then Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. Remember, Saul started out really humble. He was a humble man. When he first heard that he was going to be king, he wouldn't hit himself. They had to go and find Saul and bring him to Samuel so Samuel could anoint him and anoint him as king. He was very humble as it started. But the crown did something to him. That position did something to the man. And he had a very prideful attitude as time went on. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Father, bless the message tonight. Help us again to see the importance of obedience in our own lives. Help us, Lord, to obey you and your word. Help us to obey the Holy Spirit when we are convicted on certain things. Help us, Lord, to, again, just go through life obeying you. Father, we pray that you bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. If you go back just a couple verses here, Saul was given a command to go and utterly destroy all the Amalekites by Samuel. Samuel told him that. You can agree or disagree. It doesn't really matter. But that was the command given by God through Samuel to Saul. Go and take care of them. Wipe them out. Get rid of every single one of them. Get rid of everything that they owned. All of the cattle, the sheep, everything. Just wipe them out. The Amalekites were wicked, awful people. Sometimes as I read through the Old Testament, I say, Lord, that's a little tough, isn't it? But then when you read some of the things that these people have done, you say, okay, God, I see your justification in the matter. And so the command was given, and Saul went off, and he took his army of, a couple hundred thousand people. I forget the exact number, but off he went. And he killed a lot of the Amalekites. He did a lot of good there. However, he spared the king. And he brought back all of the good things that they found with the Amalekites. To God, nothing was good that they had. Nothing. But Saul brought back some of them. And it was him that did it. It was he that allowed this whole thing to take place. In verse 15, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep. And of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. It was like Saul is saying, it wasn't really me, it was they. It was them. It was the people. It was the soldiers. I really had nothing to do with that, Samuel. Oh, you had a lot to do with it, Saul. You were the guy in the leadership position at the time, and you oversaw the whole thing. You knew what was going on. You're the one that brought back Agag. You read on further, and Samuel had to take care of Agag himself. And boy, did he take care of Agag. That's a little, makes the hair on your arms, if you have any, really, stand up, or the hair on the back of your neck, stand up to what Samuel had to do. But the whole point is Saul did not obey the Lord. But he thought he did. Half of obedience does not mean obedience. Doing partial or part of a command and not doing the rest of the command does not mean that you were obedient or I was obedient. And Samuel, through God, is trying to teach Saul a lesson. And it's been written down for you and I to learn the same thing. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. So also, we brought back the best sheep and the best oxen. We brought it all back so you could have a wonderful sacrifice in Gilgal. We thought that you would like this. And Samuel made it very clear that, no, you obey God 100%. You don't obey God 50% of the time or 99.9% of the time. You obey Him completely. For rebellion, and I take that as disobedience, because disobedience is rebellion. Rebellion is disobedience. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Adoniram Judson was an American Congregationalist who studied the fact of baptism in the Bible and became a Baptist. He became a famous Baptist, for that matter. He didn't agree with the way the Congregationalists were baptizing children. And he realized that baptism was for those that were saved only. And he actually became a Baptist. He served in Burma for almost 40 years as a missionary. One of the very first missionaries that traveled overseas to become a missionary from America. Today it's the Myanmar country. Burma, then it's Myanmar today. At the age of 25, Adoniram Judson was sent from North America, from the United States, to preach in Burma. He was born August 9, 1788, and died April 12, 1850. When Adoniram Judson graduated from college and seminary, he received a call from a fashionable church in Boston to become its assistant pastor. Everyone congratulated him. His mother, his sister, rejoiced that he could live at home with them and do his life work. But Judson shook his head and said, my work is not here. He said, God is calling me beyond the seas. To stay here, even to serve God in this, in his ministry, I feel would be only partial obedience. And I could not be happy in that. Although it cost him a tremendous struggle, he left his mother, he left his sister, and he followed the heavenly call. Judson's churches in Burma have had 50,000 converts, and the influence of his consecrated life is felt around the world today. When Judson began his mission in Burma, he set a goal of translating the Bible and founding a church of 100 members before his death. That was his goal. Let me have a church of 100 people before I die. By the time of his death, almost 40 years later, he had accomplished those goals and even more. Leaving the translated Bible there, as well as a half-completed Burmese English dictionary that he had translated, there was 100 churches established, Baptist churches, by the way, 100 Baptist churches established and over 8,000 believers when he died. I think he made his goal. You know why? God blessed his obedience. God blesses obedience. God can never bless disobedience. Never. He never will. He'll only bless obedience. So I want to talk tonight. I have two things in my notes here, but we're only going to probably have time for the first one tonight. And number one is the obedience to God. Write this down. The obedience to God. And we're going to look at some scripture. Look at Deuteronomy. Just not too far. You're not too far from there. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verse 4. Obedience to God. That's the first thing. And it's commanded. It's commanded that we are obedient to God. So if you're taking notes tonight, write down first, number one, obedience to God, and then under that, commanded. Deuteronomy 13:4. It says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him." So it's commanded. Our obedience to God is not a suggestion or an option in our Christianity. It is something that God expects and desires and commands that we are obedient to him. We touched on that again this morning. Look at Hebrews 11:6. It's still, again, it's obedience to God, and it's impossible to obey God without faith. You've got to have faith in order to obey God. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The question often is, well, how do I please God? I'll tell you tonight, it's very simple. Obey him. Obey him. Just obey him. How does a child please a parent? By obeying the parent. When the parent says for a child to do something or expects a child to do something, when a child does that without complaining, without moping and complaining and going around the house throwing things and hitting things and, you know, yeah, I'll do it. And then, you know, does it with a horrible bad attitude. That's no good. That's not obeying your parents. I should say it's not honoring your parents. The Bible uses both terms, obey the parent and honor the parent. Honor is simply obedience with a good attitude. That's what honor is to obey with a good attitude. That's what pleases God. What pleases God is a person, a Christian, an individual that simply pleases God and is obedient to him and obeys him in all matters of life. I mean, think about everything that we're doing in this Christian life, this Christian walk. We are to be obeying God first and foremost. Exodus, back to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19. How do we obey God? Exodus chapter 19, look at verse 5. Exodus 19:5. "Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. For all the earth is mine." We are to obey the voice of God. Now, where is the voice of God today? Do we hear him audibly? No. You don't hear God audibly. You might think sometimes you do. I think sometimes the Holy Spirit can really speak to our hearts, and you might think that you hear an audible voice, but it's not an audible voice. You hear the voice of God through this book. This is where the voice of God is, right here, in the Word of God. When you read this book and you do what it says, you are obeying the voice of God. Remember, Jesus said He's the Word. And so it's through the voice of God. That's how we obey God. When we read, when we hear what God has to say to us through His Word, and we obey that, that's what pleases God. Jeremiah 7 and verse 23. Jeremiah 7 and verse 23. Jeremiah 7:23. But this thing commanded I then, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. There's that voice again. Obey my voice, Jeremiah said. And so we need to simply obey consistently. We need to obey all the time, regardless if you like it or not. Regardless if you agree with it or not. Some people just, I don't think that's for me. We all need to obey God. Here's an illustration. Roger Staubach. Remember Roger Staubach? Am I saying that right? For the Dallas Cowboys? He won a Super Bowl in 1971. He admitted that his position as a quarterback who didn't call his own signals was a source of trial for him. He never called his own signals. Coach Landry sent in every play. He told Roger when to pass, when to run, and only in emergency situations could he change that play. Even though Roger considered Coach Landry to have a genius mind, when it came to football strategy, pride said that he should be able to run his own team. Roger had a decision to make. Would he allow pride to rule his life and ignore his coach, making himself the star, or would he listen to the coach and do what he wanted? Roger later said, I faced up to the issue of obedience. Once I learned to obey, there was harmony, fulfillment, and victory. He simply obeyed his coach. He didn't take matters in his own hands. We could use some Christians today that will obey their coach. Who's our coach? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's our coach. He tells us what to do. He tells us how to play. And this life is not a game. I know sometimes we use analogies. Well, you know, life is like a football game or a baseball or whatever. I mean, no, life is not a game. Life is very serious. And if you're living life, you know how serious it is. It's a very serious time. But we can get our instructions. Here's our playbook right here. The Word of God is our playbook. The Word of God tells us what to do, when to do it. And so we need to do that. We need to simply obey the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy 11. And verses 27 and 28. Deuteronomy 11, 27 and 28. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known. So it's very clear and simple in Scripture that if you obey God and His Word, a blessing. There's a blessing. If you disobey God and His Word and His commandments, there's a cursing. That's what I read from the Word of God. Now, I know this was to the Israelites, and I know it was a command by Moses to the Israelites to make them know and be aware of this. But I believe it carries over into a spiritual thing with us also. It makes sense to me that if you obey God, He'll bless you somehow, some way. And if you don't obey God, there's going to be some kind of a cursing involved. It's not that you're going to lose your salvation and go to hell someday. That's not what we're talking about. But in life, there seems to be blessings and cursings. In life. It seems like God is blessing us. There are other times that maybe God isn't blessing us like we would want to be blessed. Well, maybe it's because we're disobeying God. He cannot bless a disobedient Christian. How can he do that? He can't do that. Many times when I'm praying for you or somebody that I know, often I know sometimes we pray, oh Lord, bless so-and-so, bless. But if they're not living right, how can you pray for God's blessing upon them? I will give you a little relaxation here. I do not pray for God's cursing upon you. I don't do that. I pray a prayer like this. Lord, you know what they need. You know what they're going through. Lord, you know exactly what their life entails. Lord, I don't believe that you can bless them because of the way they're living, but Lord, I pray that you would do whatever you got to do to straighten them out and get them living right. That's kind of the way I pray for some people. If I don't know what's going on in their life, I'll just mention their name and say, Lord, bless them if they need to be blessed. And Lord, if there's something else going on there, you know what to do. You know how to take care of the situation. And God does that. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 5. If the Lord gave you a command, would you do it? Come on. If Jesus Christ himself gave you a command to do something, would you do it? You say yes, right? Some of you are not saying anything. You're afraid to answer, I think. I don't know. But if the Lord Jesus Christ himself, let's just say all of a sudden you get an audible voice from heaven and Jesus Christ himself is telling you to do something, what would you do? Come on. You'd be scared not to. Thank you. Yes, you would be scared not to do it. You would have a tendency to do what the Lord told you to do. Right? Now, I know he's not going to cast down an audible voice upon you. We get our commands from the Word of God. But as you're reading the Bible and he commands you to do something, do you do it when it comes off the pages of the Word of God? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and look at verse 5. Casting down imaginations and everything, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of what? Christ. Obedience of Christ. Suppose someone were to offer you $1,000. Do I have your attention now? Suppose someone were to offer you $1,000 for every soul that you would earnestly try to lead to Christ. All I had to do is try to lead them to Christ. You get $1,000 for that. Not a bad deal. I don't have that kind of money to do that. But let's just say for an illustration purpose that you were offered $1,000 for every soul that you would earnestly try to lead to Christ. Would you endeavor to lead any more souls to him than you are endeavoring to do now? Yeah. Is it possible that you would attempt to do more for money? What you hesitate or shrink from doing now in obedience to God's command, clear command in Scripture? Come on, be honest. We got to be honest, ladies and gentlemen. Some would grab that $1,000 and say, yeah, I'll do that. But the Lord's already commanded us to do that. And he hasn't offered us money for it. He hasn't said, I'll give you $1,000 or $1,000,000 for every person you try to win to me. No. Is your love for money stronger than your love of God and for souls? Just think about that. I know some of you are saying no, but come on, you don't need to respond. I'm just saying, with some, it would motivate a little bit more if some money was offered. For some, not some of you. I know some of you are super Christians, and so I know that some. I know this wouldn't matter for some of you, and I'm not saying that in a deceitful way. I mean that. We have some very good, humble people in our church, but the illustration is that sometimes people do things for money instead of just a command from the Word of God. Look at Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. Romans Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Romans chapter 6, verse 17, it says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." Look at 10:16, Romans 10:16. 10:16, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Some have obeyed, some have not obeyed. There's a lot of examples in the Bible. I don't have time to go through all of them. I wish I did, but I don't. I want to give you just a few examples of those that obeyed God. Look at Romans 16. You're right there in Romans. Look at 16, verse 19. Romans 16 and verse 19. 6:19, Romans. 16:19. Come on, get that apple crisp out of your mind and think here. 16:19, Romans 16:19. I'm there, are you there? "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." The first part of that verse, it says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men." The church of Rome that Paul was writing to, and he commends about 37 people by name in the last chapter, chapter 16, when you read all of those names of those people that he was commending about all of the great things that they... Some people, he just mentions their name. And they're mentioned in Scripture for eternity that they were servants of God somehow, some way. But he makes that statement, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men." I mean, this church of Rome, they had a testimony that these people were obedient. These people just obeyed God. They obeyed the Word. They obeyed their preacher. They obeyed Paul. They obeyed whoever was leading them. They simply had an attitude of obedience. That was their testimony as Paul is writing this and saying, "It's come abroad to all men." Wow, that's quite a testimony. Think about that. Boy, that church there really is obedient. You don't hear that too much nowadays, do you? You don't hear that. Oh, that church is really an obedient church. Well, we need to think about that, because that church there that Paul was writing to had a great testimony. How about Jesus Christ himself? Is there a better example than Christ? No. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Christ is the ultimate example of obedience. Did the Lord obey his Father? When God the Father says, "You've got to go," he went. When God the Father says, "You've got to die for the people," he died for the people. There isn't, that I know of, anywhere in Scripture, a better example or testimony of obedience other than Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and what? He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of obedience and obeying his Father. Go over to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. Hebrews 5 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto them, that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called by God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. This is talking about Jesus Christ. Again, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. That's Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle says in Acts 26, well, Luke said it in Acts 26, referring to Paul the Apostle, it says, and Paul is given a testimony, he's preaching to King Agrippa, he says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision." That again is in Acts 26 and verse 19. So Paul is an example of someone in the Bible that was a very obedient person. He did what God told him to do. He went where God told him to go. There were times in Paul's life that he kind of hemmed and hawed and he wanted to go in a different direction, but Paul, and the Holy Spirit says, no, you're going here. And this is where you're going to go and this is what you're going to do. And so Paul was very, very obedient. Joseph, the husband of Mary. Look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 24. We ought to be thankful that Joseph was a man that was very obedient. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 24, it says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." He obeyed. He did what God the Father had told him to do. David, in Psalm 119, verse 106, says this, "I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments." David, yes, had his faults, but he was a very obedient individual when he got his heart right. He was a man after God's own heart. And God used David tremendously. Josiah, the king Josiah, was a very godly man, and he simply obeyed. Hezekiah, 2 Kings 18, verse 6, don't have time to read it, but Hezekiah just simply obeyed God. Caleb, in the Old Testament, in Numbers 32 and verse 12, it says, "Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." Do you know what that means? When you wholly follow the Lord, you are obedient to God. You're obeying God in everything that he says. So Caleb and Joshua were obedient. Abram was obedient. When Abram was told by God, "Hey, leave the Ur of the Chaldees and go to a land that I'm going to tell you." What did Abram do? Yes, sir. And he picks up everything, his wife, even his nephew Lot, and off they went. He didn't know where he was going, but he was doing what God told him to do in Genesis chapter 12. Noah was told to build an ark. In Genesis 6:22, it says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." If it wasn't for the obedience of Noah, there'd be no human beings left. But God, in his grace and mercy, saved the human race by Noah, Mrs. Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth and their wives. But it was because of the obedience of Noah that he built the ark. He did it exactly the way God told him to do it. He built it the exact size that God told him to build it. He did it. He simply obeyed the Lord. It took him a long time to build it, but he got it done because he was obedient to God. There are so many examples in the Scriptures of men and women who were obedient to God, even young people that were obedient. I think of David at a young life. I think of Daniel at a young life. I think of Joseph at a young life. These teenagers were men that believed to simply obey God no matter what. And they were blessed for it. Their lives were blessed. Their families were blessed. The nation of Israel was blessed because of their obedience. How are you tonight with your obedience? How obedient are you? And all the things that God tells you to do, how obedient are you? It's not okay to be obedient in some areas and disobedient in other areas. We've already talked about that. King Saul is a good example of that. He thought he was obeying God and he wasn't really obeying God. He did it partway. He did it halfway. Halfway obedience is still disobedience. It's still disobedience. And yet we have a hard time learning that. Some people, some Christians think they can do what they want, get away with what they want, they can come to church when they want, and they're okay. No, I don't think you're okay. You're not fully obeying God and His Word. We have to obey God. That is our responsibility. And that's what I want you to get from this day, as we've talked about the Rechabites, we talked tonight about just obeying God, obedience to God. Next week, Lord willing, I'm going to bring a message entitled Disobedience to God. We'll talk about disobedience to God. You'll want to be here for that one. Maybe you don't, I don't know. But we need to obey God. Simply put, just obey Him every day. Make it a point. Say, God, how can I obey You today? Guide, direct, give me wisdom. Help me to be obedient to You. God, when you sit down tomorrow morning or whenever it is that you read the Word of God, when you open up that book, you ought to be praying, God, show me how I can obey You through the Word of God. Show me, point it out, what I need to do to be obedient to You and Your Word. And simply do what God tells you to do. And if you don't know what God is trying to tell you, ask Him. We have not because we ask not. Ask God how you can be a better obedient servant of Him. Father, thank You again for the Word of God. And thank You, Lord, how You command us to be obedient. I think sometimes, Lord, many of us as Christians think when we half obey that we're obeying. But Lord, not according to Your Word.